Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And I must say a very good afternoon to you once again. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been dealing with some real health conversations. And I remember the very first one, which was one of my faves, because I think we all experienced this, you know, workplace toxicity. And if you don't think that affects your health, you'd be very, very surprised. One of these days, I'm going to play you my conversation with our resident, I'm not even going to call her a regular guest, she's not a guest anymore, but she is actually a resident on the show. And Charlene, good afternoon and welcome back.
Hi Luco, thank you so much for having me. That's a really nice introduction. It really makes me feel appreciated.
I don't know if I should call you a resident health guru.
Okay, not guru. I think that's too big a word.
We've stretched it too far.
yeah, let's not overrate it. We're just here to share some health and wellness information, basically.
It's absolutely amazing, Charlene, I must say. Now, let's start here, Charlene. Last week, we touched on, if I remember very well, some very important health as food as our health, right? Today we're jumping into something slightly different, because I'm sure we could have easily said, food, health, that's a myth. But look, I'm a witness. I've seen that happen, actually. I've seen my health improving drastically because of food. But speaking of myths, it's got a lot of them. Listen, I just came back from our local clinic, and I wanted a procedure done, and I kept saying to the lady, is it true that this happens with it? Is it true that this happens? And she kept saying, no, there's no such. No, there's no such.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're talking about today, health myths, because there's just a lot out there.
Definitely. I think that, you know, it's so funny, because now we live in this age where we have more access than ever before to so much of information. Mm-hmm. But that also comes with, you know, that so-called fake news. So I think we absolutely need to take the time to understand what's true, what actually makes sense. You know, we've heard a lot of these health myths, I think growing up also, you know, maybe it was from your mom or your gran or your, you know, like someone in the family. And then we kind of take this and ran with it. Mm. But it's not really the full information. It's just become kind of a twisted version of an idea. So
true.
I think when you're taking control of your health, you need to also know what is fact and what is fiction. So today we're going to try to unpack these together. And I think let's start with one I know we've all heard. So I'm going to put you on the spot now, Luco. Let's start with this one. Okay. You tell me yes or no. Using butter to treat a burn. What do you think?
I've heard that one. Yes.
Okay. So you say that it's true.
Do I say it's true? I haven't tried it. So I'll say no for now.
Okay, so you're completely right about that. Thank God for that. from a very personal and painful experience, please do not try butter for a burn. Very true story, many years ago, I had a kettle of boiling water fall on my leg. Mm. Super, super painful. Shane, my granny at the time, she goes to the fridge and she gets the butter and she tries to smear it all over my leg. And no, it's not the solution, guys. It makes it so much worse, because the butter can actually trap the heat in the skin. It can cause an infection and just make things a whole lot worse. So please don't try that at home. If you have a burn that's quite serious, you need to go to the doctor. If it's a mild version, you can cool it under running water for at least 20 minutes. And then afterwards, you can use a burn treatment.
Have you heard of the toothpaste one, my friend? Because it's also a toothpaste
absolutely,
one.
Absolutely. Please keep the butter for toast. Keep the toothpaste for your teeth. Please are not for treating any types of burns.
Okay. And the egg one, how true is the egg one? Because I know there's like you're saying, I haven't tried the butter one. There's butter, there's toothpaste, and there's egg.
Oh no, I haven't heard the egg one.
There's three melons.
Are you supposed to apply this on the burn?
Yes, yes.
I don't know. These all sound like things for breakfast. There's no butter, eggs. I don't think it's for treating hands.
Okay,
so let's move on to the next one. I'm sure you've heard this one. If you crack your joints, like your knuckles, you will get arthritis. What do you think?
I've heard of that one. And I'm going to be honest, I've ended up believing it because it's been said since we were kids.
Absolutely. And it does kind of sound like it could be true, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you hear that cracking noise and it feels kind of nice when you're doing it, but it's also like there's a little pain there. But there's no truth to this one. That cracking noise comes from a gas bubble that forms between the bones. And that's what makes the popping sound. So technically cracking your knuckles doesn't cause arthritis. But please, you know, of course, if you feel any severe or regular pain in your joints, you still need to go to the doctor. But I mean, you can just go ahead and crack your knuckles, you know, for fun or whatever.
I do it. And then when it doesn't crack, I still repeat it. I'm like, I'll do it until it cracks. Sometimes it even gets painful.
Is it a stress reliever? Like, what is the...
Not even for me. For me, it almost feels as if, like, I think when I've thought about it, then I feel the need to do it to the rest of the knuckles. But sometimes it's just from a... If you're moving your fingers and then it feels like there's a bit of an obstruction, then I'll start doing it. And I don't have any other reason for the rest of them because it's usually that one finger and then I'm like, oh, let me do it. Okay, let me do it. That's it.
Exactly. It's a little habit, you know, it's just one of those things, I guess.
It is, actually.
Okay. But, I mean, you can carry on and do it freely. I don't think it's going to lead to arthritis, so we're good for that. Okay, so let's move on. And, you know, this kind of goes back a little bit to what we were talking about last week about food and, you know, related to your weight as well.
Mm-hmm.
So is this true? Being thin or slim means that you are healthy?
False. False. I really don't believe that. I, as much as I am, and I know I use this word carefully, I'm quite... obsessed with being healthy and slimmer because I love clothes. I don't think so because I think I've seen a lot of slimmer and healthy people that just eat anything and everything. Now, I've seen bigger people who are extremely cautious about what it is that they eat.
Right. Well, you're doing so well on this health quiz, Nicole. A for A so far. So this is a bit of a complex theory, but you're right because... Basically, you can be thin, but you can still be at risk for certain illnesses and diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You can be skinny, but you can have chronic sleep issues, and that comes with its own set of problems. You could be really slim, but have an iron deficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke about that last week about mineral deficiencies. So there's no perfect answer here, but I do want to stress, you know, being overweight, we know it comes with its very well-documented health risks, like diabetes and obesity. So, you know, I'm not saying that you can be as overweight as you want because we know that that can put pressure on your health.
Yes.
So the takeaway here is not to focus on a number on the scale, but rather, you know, are you as healthy as you can be? And this is what's important. If you are under or overweight, you still have to go for all those normal health checks.
Exactly.
Because that's when the doctor's going to pick up and say, even if you are within a great weight range for your height, you might still be at risk for anemia or whatever the health issue is. So you still don't take it for granted that because you're slim that you're automatically healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So please, you know, you still have to take those steps to do those health checks and take control of your wellness.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Okay, so your next health question. So carbs are the enemy and you should cut them out of your diet completely. True or false?
Say that again.
So carbs are the enemy and you should cut them out of your diet completely. What do you think?
Oh, this is tricky. It's tricky because they are quite an enemy. I can attest to that. But I don't think that they should be completely cut out. I know they can be quite, they can go to the bum, but listen, I don't think we should cut them out completely, no.
Okay, that's an excellent answer. And that is, yes, that is the answer, because I know so many people, like you said, myself included, you included, we have jumped on and off the no carbs bandwagon,
yep.
Right? But, you know, like we spoke about last week, the truth is that even fruit and whole grains, for instance, they have carbohydrates. We need carbs for energy and to fuel our bodies. But going overboard on them is where we start to experience the weight gain and the diabetes issues and, you know, those risk factors. So it's the portion control or lack of control that starts to cause these health problems. Mm-hmm. And this is where carbs have got that bad reputation, because people overeat carb-heavy foods and then blame all carbs for being bad guys. So I think it's, again, just be mindful of those processed foods. Just make better choices, because truthfully, if you have pasta 3 times a day, plus lots of sugar, plus the snacks,
then it's too much. Yeah. It gets to a point where it's just a lot.
Exactly. So everything in moderation.
Yeah, I agree.
So well done. You're doing well on this quiz so far.
I'm a healthy girl.
I see you're not falling. You're not falling for the fake things.
No.
Okay. So going into the colder weather. Being cold gives you a cold, or you will get sick if you go out into the cold. Yes or no?
Aisha, I believe it. The black girl in me is like, no.
Why do you believe it?
No. I've always heard this, Charlene, just growing up. I don't know why, but it's like all our grannies, especially, I said, black kids are always covered in 1,000 blankets. It's a thing, because once you're cold, you're going to catch a cold. I believe it. Like now, my twins are coughing. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot. And I don't think it's because it was cold. Since they actually started at preschool, I think they caught whatever. And so the immune system is trying to strengthen up to that. But Sana, even this morning when I was dressing them up, I looked at the weather. I saw it was going to be hot. I still put a long vest underneath. And because I'm like, they must be warm because they are coughing.
Of course. And you're 100% right. You know, we've all heard this one from our parents or grandparents growing up. Mm-hmm. And like you're doing with your kids, you know, the intention is good, because if you're a little bit colder when you're outside, your body's immune system, it starts to drop just a little bit because it's spending that extra effort to keep you warm.
Mm.
But it's not a hard and fast rule, because some people can tolerate the cold better.
Yes.
But basically, being in the cold air itself, that doesn't make you sick. It's the viruses that cause those colds and flus. Because if you think about it, you're likelier to get sick when you're inside, because this is where germs are living their best lives and they're floating around and being transmitted. So that's the straightforward explanation. But that's not to say, please go out in the freezing cold in a t-shirt and sandals. Please don't do that. Because, you know, bundle up, stay warm. And if you are sick, please stay home and stay away from others, because you don't want to pass on those germs.
Yeah, that's true. You're actually reminding me. I honestly, and I'm going to admit to this, I bravely sent my kids to school last week, because I'm like, I'm like, no, whatever it is, they caught it from you guys, because they weren't coughing.
But that's true. I mean, those environments are a petri dish.
Exactly. And every time I send them to school the next day, hearing was there, still coughing, I'm like, Lord, I pray they don't call me back to pick them up, because I don't see sick kids. They're just coughing from whatever it is. But this weekend was rather much more crazier, this past weekend, because they were coughing much more. I remember praying for them on Sunday evening, and I said, you know what, Lord, pretty please, can they, you know, be okay tomorrow? Because what am I going to do with them? They need to go to school.
That's, unfortunately, that is that vicious cycle, right? Because they go to school, they get sick, they come home, and it just keeps going around in circles.
Exactly.
Because as one child gets sick, then the other one gets sick, and then they bring it home to you. So
exactly.
So just take all the precautions and definitely bundle up, especially now as we're heading into winter. Okay, so on a more serious note, let's look at a cancer myth, okay?
Okay.
Have you heard this? If someone has cancer, it will always lead to death.
No, I didn't. I didn't hear that. I think though, I've always felt as though some people survive it, and then you don't know what happens.
Right.
It takes a spin, and then they're gone. But I do believe that there's been measures taken in some cases where people have lived much longer than, you know, their first episode.
Absolutely. I think there's so much, when people hear, you know, the word cancer, it becomes this overwhelming and really, really terrifying thing. And people think there's only one outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some really heartening news here. For example, you know, testicular cancer has one of the highest rates of recovery.
Wow.
It is actually one of the most treatable and curable forms of cancer, especially if it's caught early. I'll use an example here for an article we actually did on well-beings. There was a recent example a few years ago of a soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Sebastian Haller. He plays for the Ivory Coast. So he was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and he actually went back to professional soccer playing just 6 months after completing treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how inspirational is that?
Very.
It just shows you that there are many cancers actually that are treatable, but you have to have that awareness and that the key is early detection. So
yeah.
That really comes down to, you know, monitoring your health. And if you notice any signs or symptoms in your body that just are irregular, that's why those health checks are so important.
Yeah. And I always say, listen to your body. Listen.
Yes,
that's the loudest voice you need in order to keep intact with your health.
And this is where that information becomes so helpful, is because if you're paying attention to the signs, if you know you're feeling different, your body is showing signs that are just unusual, you know, if you have that little bit of knowledge to say, this is not what my body should be doing, then you're going to take the next step, which is go to the doctor.
Yes.
And get a health check done. And you never know, that could make all the difference between, you know, a really positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the scary thing is, and I feel this myself sometimes, is that people just don't want to know, right? You're almost like,
listen,
get off, just avoid it. I get it.
I'm going to tell you now, Charlene, I'm one of those people who just don't want to know. But to be proud of myself, let me just say, this past Monday, I actually went and had a proper pap smear. I went and had a check as a female, you know, because it's very important, which I'd never had, by the way, up until last Monday. But be that as it may, quick story. For the past 3 months, I've been living in fear that I'm pregnant, because I even started having these symptoms and feeling as if something was moving in my tummy, but I just would not check it. I just would not, because I was like, Lord, you can't do this to me. But anyway, great news is I checked it and I'm on the clear.
That's good news. You see, and like you said, you've been avoiding it, but you actually took that step.
Yeah.
And there are so many people, like, you know, who feel that way. I would just rather not know. I would rather just avoid things, and whatever happens, happens. But it really can make all the difference. So that's amazing that you took that step.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's look at mental health, okay? Depression, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think that depression is just a matter of positive thinking and you can move past it?
Oh, certainly not. Look, I've been at that place before where I felt it is all about that, but also experience is the biggest teacher, my love. I, you know, self-diagnosed, by the way, but I went through it all, and I know very well that it's much more than that.
That's great. I mean, that's so empowering for someone to say, because I think that by now we're talking so much about mental health. It's all over, you know, in every form of media, that it's becoming more understandable. But I think that there's still some stigma and misconceptions about it, because, you know, I've heard so many people say this, that, well, just think positive, just power through. But you know, mental health problems like feeling very sad or anxious, it's not just a result of being weak or not thinking happy thoughts. Because it can happen to anyone, right? Just
exactly.
Like getting a cold or a sore throat. You might just wake up tomorrow morning with a cold. And that's just perfectly normal. It just happens to someone. So it doesn't have anything to do with being strong or not thinking happy, positive thoughts.
Trust me, it doesn't.
It doesn't, right? And if you think about it, some of the most famous people in the world who have tons of resources, they also struggle with things like depression or anxiety. So willpower is not the only answer. And when someone has that mental health issue, you know, it's like needing a doctor when you're sick. Sometimes you just need professional help to feel better. So I hope that is one of those misconceptions that just starts to get cleared up and people have more grace and empathy for those who are going through it.
And I guess it can really assist in the whole process of healing for those who are actually going through it.
I think because if you know that someone is willing to meet you halfway and willing to understand, then you're more open also to sharing how
exactly.
you feel and why you feel like
exactly. that. Because otherwise, why would you want to speak up to me or confide in me or just have a moment with me if I feel it's all about being positive?
And especially when it comes to depression, right? I've heard this so many times. People say, well, what do you have to be sad about? And it's such a, you know, it's such a weird thing I feel to say to someone because you don't know their background or their history or their journey. So they might, on the surface, they might not have anything to feel sad about, but sometimes there is no rhyme or reason and you just have to accept and give the person grace.
That's true. That's true. I agree.
Cool. Okay. So finally on our health quiz for today, this is the last one. And this is one that affects most of, you know, almost all of us. There's misconceptions about cell phones causing cancer.
I've heard that one 1,000 times. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to say this aloud. But I'm like a Danny, an old Danny, you know. My mom taught me bad habits, like putting your phone inside your bra. You know, when you're hiding it, especially if you're walking at night. Before I had a car, that's where I'd hide it because I don't want anybody seeing anything. But I was so scared because, they tell me it gives cancer.
So I think lots of people do that, actually. And we've definitely seen this one during the rounds. You know, it ironically comes up on like chats through our phones, which is so weird. And there's a couple of reasons why this comes up. Cell phones do give off a type of radiation. And most importantly, almost everyone uses a phone these days.
Yes.
So even if the risk were tiny, it would still matter because so many of us are exposed. Mm. And the main has probably always been about brain and central nervous system cancers. The good news is that there's no credible medical research that shows that a cell phone is going to increase your risk of brain cancer or any other type of cancer.
Okay.
So there's been years and years of study on this, and that is the official word. There's no credibility to this.
That's good news, Charlene.
So what is credible and very legit are those accidents that's caused by distraction of using your phone while driving.
Don't even tell me about that one.
Please, Nicole, I hope you're not doing that, but please definitely put down your cell phone when you're driving. This is actually the real risks that we need to be worried about.
My husband gets so annoyed because I'm very strict about that. I'm like, no, because matter how cautious you are, you cannot be cautious enough for the next person while you're distracted, because you're thinking, I've got this, I'm driving well. But there is a certain level of attention you need to have in order to even spot somebody else's mistakes and not just yours.
Absolutely.
You can't have that when you're on your phone.
No. And it's actually scary if you just spend some time in traffic and you look out into the next car.
Sure.
It is staggering how people just blatantly do this, and it's really scary. There's, you know, I've seen people texting and driving. Obviously, we see this all the time, but I feel like it's become so accepted almost.
It has.
And I don't understand it because it's as dangerous as, you know, drinking and driving, as far as I'm concerned.
No, but so they don't get it. People who do it really don't get it.
Yeah, and I think just generally we all need more breaks from the cell phone and the laptop and the tabs and the electronic devices just for your health. Do yourself that favor and take those regular breaks from screen time.
Hey, it's that's quite a difficult one. And I think we need to be more careful, especially us who are parents. You know, just the other day, I said, I don't know what I was talking about. And I said to my neighbor's daughter, and your mother is on her phone, Shem. She can't hear. And she says, she lost. And she says, she's always on her phone. Yo, oh, no. I was like, ouch, don't say that.
Exactly. But I think it's so, it is just so reflective of where we are in society.
Yeah.
If you just do like a survey, you know, go to a restaurant, sit down, and just look around you. Everyone's on their phone.
Yeah.
Kids are so adept now with screen time. They know how to operate the tabs and the cell phones and get onto social media. So, it's definitely something worth considering and thinking about, especially as a parent. But hopefully we've debunked some of these fake health news today. And I just want to say, you know, believing these health myths isn't typically going to do much harm, but it does start to do harm when it prevents you from making the best choices for your health. And, you know, please don't believe all those forwarded messages that we're constantly getting on chats. And
when my parents send me those, I'm like, guy. Like, even before I open it, sometimes they'll send something that's written forwarded many times, and I don't even want to open it because I'm like, mom, dad, don't do this.
And I feel like those messages know just who to prey on. You know,
exactly.
They know that certain people are just more vulnerable or are immediately going to panic. And it really does lead to so much of this fake news. So,
please
get the facts and do your research. And yeah, your health will thank you for it.
Your health will thank you for it. I loved that. Hi, Charlene. Thank you so much for this chat. If you can remind us, though, before we run out, how do we reach out to you guys?
So please, hopefully you've bookmarked our website by now, www.wellbeingsafrica.com. We definitely tackle a lot of common health myths there, and it's just a big range of health information for every part of your health journey. So, give us a visit and let's just continue these health journeys together.
Oh, Charlene, we'll do this again next week. Same time, same place. Thank you so much and have a great Passover weekend.
Thank you. Same to you. I'm very much looking forward to eating lots of Easter eggs.
Oh, I never get it right. I think I must actually go buy them myself.
You have to. You have to treat yourself to an Easter bunny.
Thanks, Charlene, and have a good afternoon.
You're at 657 AM, Radio Caring, 24 hours a day.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You
and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.